Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling, so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Da-da! Da-da!
It's a Tuesday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
60 degrees right now. It is going to get into the 80s, buddy.
Ooh, boy.
And that sounds awesome. Except we got a problem.
What's the problem?
Severe thunderstorms from the afternoon into the evening with the possibility of an isolated tornado.
Tornado?
And we'll get more into that later in the show. Because, you know, if there's three things I really don't like.
Yeah.
I really don't like. Vegetables,
mm-hmm.
You as a person,
mm-hmm.
And tornadoes.
Yes, you have a deep fear of tornadoes.
Deep, deep tornado
fear. So tornadoes and vegetables, same. Top
yeah.
three.
Yeah, let's say yeah. if there was a tornado that ripped through a vegetable field coming right.
And they
at
usually
me.
Do. Usually, there's probably a lot of vegetables inside tornadoes.
Maybe that's why. I got impaled by a zucchini. But we have to start the show having a discussion about something that has blown up online.
Okay.
That men will not stop talking.
Mm.
All right. So remember, last week we told you that 1 in 10 American men believe that they could beat a lion in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Like a lion. Okay, and you laughed at how silly that was. So there is a scenario that has been presented that has everybody talking, Tommy.
What are they talking about?
All right, so the scenario is this. 100 men are sentenced to death. They are going to be killed.
All right.
The only way they can save their lives is for these 100 unarmed men as a group to take on a gorilla.
One gorilla.
So it's 100 unarmed men in hand-to-hand combat versus one gorilla. And the question is, one, could 100 men...
overtake one gorilla.
Unarmed, overtake one gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
And two, if so, how many men would the gorilla kill before they finally were able to subdue gorilla?
All right.
So I want you to think about that for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you some gorilla information.
All right.
It is believed that gorillas are strong enough to rip a limb off of a human.
Oh, I could see that, sure.
Okay. Although it's never happened before, gorillas, for as scary as they look, are very gentle animals.
Yeah, okay. Unless you piss them off.
Yeah, there you go. Two, a human being has a bite force of about 162 pounds per square inch.
All right.
A gorilla
what's that one?
Has a bite force, depending on the size, of 500 to 1,000 pounds per square inch. So about 10, it can be up to 10 times higher than a human being. Mm. It's believed that a gorilla bite will break human bone.
And here's the other thing about a gorilla bite. They're good at it because they do it all the time.
I don't know how often gorillas bite.
Well, they probably have to, you know, attack stuff to eat.
Okay.
Right? We don't.
Are they carnivores?
I think they mostly eat, like, berries and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I always said they eat meat.
I've never seen a gorilla eat meat, now that I'm thinking about it. And you know how much I watch gorillas.
They do like the banana. You're right. All right. So they're vegetarian?
Is it gorillas that eat bananas or monkeys that eat bananas?
I thought they all did.
Yeah, they eat leaves.
I shouldn't call stems, they all. That's terrible to say.
Snails, ants. Okay, so they eat some bugs.
But no, like, they...
Well, they would have to have a strong jaw because they eat a lot of, like, bark
and wood.
I guess. Rotting wood.
Mm. There are videos also of gorillas ripping full-rooted trees out of the ground with one hand.
Yeah.
All right, so with all that being said, Tommy, Could 100 unarmed human men take down a single gorilla?
Well, I guess eventually, yeah, the numbers, yeah, eventually it would happen.
All right, how though? How do you do it?
See, I would say somebody could choke him out, but I wouldn't even know if your arms are big enough to do that.
Get around. Well, how would you choke him out though? You'd have to sneak up on
the
gorilla.
Like,
well, because
the
gorilla would get exhausted.
Somebody else, and you know, so like you'd have to sacrifice maybe a few people to get to
yeah,
get
who
sneak
goes
up
first?
Behind.
That'd be the thing. Like if everybody's standing in a circle, right? We're gonna get this gorilla. All right, ready, set. Because the first guy's toast.
Yeah.
He's totally toast.
Yeah, you're gonna die.
So I gotta figure 20% of that group is either dead or effed up for life.
Okay,
like I mean, like wheelchair, oxygen paralyzed or dead.
Okay, I'm gonna counterpoint you there.
Right.
I'm gonna counterpoint you. If the gorilla was aware that it was a fight.
Well, it would obviously be if you've surrounded it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Are you going to jump him coming out of the subway?
No, but I guess the point I'm making is like, what's always funny about these discussions, you know, before we get deeper into how you could take down a gorilla with 100 men, is the gorilla, we'll never really know if the gorilla would have the wherewithal to be able to take on 100 men because the gorilla is unaware that this is a competition.
No, but they're also. I mean, wild animals sense danger and fear quickly. Like, they read a room pretty quick.
Understood, but I don't think a gorilla would be able to wrap its head around these 100 men who are trying to kill me. It's like, you know how every once in a while they'll run baseball players against horses?
Yeah.
Okay, like, they'll bring a thoroughbred out, and they'll have, like, the fastest guy on the team race the horse, and sometimes the guy will beat the horse, which is great. The horse is unaware that it's a contest,
right?
Like, if the horse knew, like, oh, there is something at stake here, if you could explain that to the horse, I doubt the horse would lose that race.
Okay.
Right? So, my point is, if the gorilla is unaware this is a fight, the first guy might be the best guy to be. You get to jump on the gorilla, and then you get the you run back, and then he starts attacking everybody else.
That's a big risk.
Yeah.
You really got to know what you're doing.
All right, so the 100 men trying to take down this single gorilla, both unarmed, would have to have a strategy. That's the only way you're going to beat this gorilla.
Yeah. You have to be in this together. You can't be going all in your own independent way.
Yeah, because that gorilla is just going to beat the hell out of, like, rip arms off.
Yeah.
How do you take down as 100 man a gorilla?
So that would be like ancient hand-to-hand combat, like how the Romans fought, right? You'd have to use like that kind of logic because that's how you're doing. You don't have anything but your bare hands.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So you'd have to be like barbarian logic of how they fought.
Well, do you? But even they had weapons.
But they also had strategies. Like they developed things over time, right?
Yeah.
But you'd have to go to barbarian fight school.
Well, okay, you don't have that option here.
Yeah, we're going right now.
It's 100 guys all standing around.
It'll never happen because you can't get everybody to agree.
Well, but if you're going to die, like, I don't know, man, the threat of death, I'll listen. Everyone start talking. Give me ideas. Let's go.
All right,
so, like, do you send them in, do you send guys in waves? Like, how many at a time do you send at the gorilla?
Oh, okay.
How many men at a time are you sending at this gorilla?
And you got to come from all directions.
252 WCMF.
All right, how many go at once?
Yeah.
Five.
All right, five?
Yeah, five.
Gorilla just like wipe his hand and wipe five guys out.
Well, then
you got to go minimum 10.
Yeah, but that's going to get like bumping into each other. You might hit the guy next to you, knock him out.
Okay.
Well,
it's
that
too
guy's
much.
Lucky then.
Well, no, because I think the gorilla's just going to pick up his lifeless body,
or
rip his arm off.
Well, he's not a threat anymore.
Okay, so here's what you got to do.
All right.
You got to send 10 guys from each side at a time.
Okay, what are you going to do when you get there? Because you got bare hands.
Yeah.
Right? No weapons.
Yeah.
So you're just going to start punching on this gorilla?
I think you got to hit the gorilla in the head as hard as you can, as many times as you can, till he goes down and then jump on the gorilla.
Yeah, you're going to get so many guys effed up, man.
All right, here's the plan. You ready?
There's going to be legs and penises all over that field. It's going to just be ripping things out.
No, I agree. It's going to be
flying bloody dongs.
I'm not, for God's sakes, man.
You know it's going to happen.
Why would he rip off penises?
Because they're going to go for the most. They know where you're.
I don't think.
Yes,
they
do.
Why would a gorilla
know? They're not fighting the
gorilla
naked.
Because they know what they've got, and they know that that's sensitive. So the first thing they're going to do is they're going to rip your balls out.
If you have,
and they're going to show them to you, and you'll actually die, not from having your balls ripped off, but for seeing your own bloody balls.
I've seen gorilla fights, man. They go at each other in the shoulders. You've never seen documentaries where gorillas are fighting each other?
No.
Really?
I haven't.
What do you do on YouTube, man?
Standard gorilla fight stuff. No, and like the National
I'm usually looking at puppies doing funny stuff.
I'm talking about
guerrilla warfare.
No, like
with actual gorillas.
Like nature documentary kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't think of a time, though, when I saw them fighting each
You've
other.
Never seen fighting gorillas?
I don't think so.
It's scary.
Well, they're good at it.
Well, yes. But the point I'm making is they go at each other like at their chest and shoulders. It's almost like a wrestling match.
Oh.
It looks like it.
All right.
I've never seen a gorilla go for another gorilla's penis. Ooh,
really?
Stop that.
Well, man, if he ever finds out.
All right, just don't say out loud, my penis is the most sensitive part of my body. 252-WBCMF, 252-9263. There's been this discussion that has overtaken social media for the last 3 days.
Yeah.
The scenario is 100 men sentenced to death, and the only way they get to live is these 100 men, unarmed, have to take on a gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
And how could 100 men take on a gorilla? If so, how many men would die before the gorilla got to them? And if you're going to fight this gorilla with 100 men, what is the strategy you use to fight the gorilla?
I just want to point out that this is something that only men think about.
Yes. You're right.
Like, what a freaking weird thing. And not only is it something they think about, but it's now, like, spread just naturally amongst groups of men.
And they're forming strategies.
And they're forming strategies and having actual arguments about the strategy that doesn't exist.
6 years ago, my wife got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, had her friends over, put on English fancy clothes, served tea, and watched a wedding for people that have no power, that have nothing to do with our country. So let's not start the glass houses, stones, etc.
Yeah, but that other thing exists. Like, this is something somebody came up with in their head one time.
That's a good point.
I think it's an interesting, it's a thought exercise, right?
But what good does it do anybody?
Okay, it doesn't do any good. What good does my wife do watching a royal wedding that doesn't apply to anything?
History.
The thought exercise.
I think it's interesting. I don't know where it comes from.
Okay.
Hey, what animal do you think you could fight?
You watch a reality show about a woman who got famous, bought a hair salon, and they keep doing a reality show about the hair salon.
Hair salon.
What's the one, the British one, or is it a bar? I don't know.
It's a bar.
Okay, who cares? None of it matters.
It does.
Because watch a boat reality show. You're going to yell at me about gorillas?
But I can actually go to that restaurant.
No, you can't.
I can't
afford it.
Fight a gorilla.
I find the idea of trying to get 100 men on the same page, life or death situation, very interesting.
Yeah, because I don't think that worked. I don't think it can.
There would be a couple leaders that emerged in the group, right?
No, I don't think so, because everybody's fighting for their own life.
Okay. But
so, I think it would be every man. It would turn into every man for himself because nobody wants to die.
You start shoving guys at the gorilla.
Yeah.
Take him!
Yeah, you would use a guy as a human shield to get to the gorilla, you know what I mean?
No, but here's the problem. Let's talk through this.
It would fall apart pretty
quick. You're a small guy, you got no chance.
Right, I'm dead.
You're getting taken out by your fellow fighters before you even get to that gorilla.
Okay, but let's talk this through. Look, I get that, if you're in a situation where there's a gorilla charging at you, you may think about throwing another man in front of that gorilla, right? But in this scenario, you're going to die no matter what.
Okay.
The only chance you have is taking down this gorilla. So if you die at the hands of the gorilla, it's what was going to happen anyway. Right? And self-preservation means we have to cooperate here. And I don't...
And that's great in a calm setting. But when limbs start flying and everybody's screaming, I don't think that logic exists anymore. It's just chaos.
Sounds like a Warren Zevon song. When limbs start flying, woo, gorilla ripped my dong off. All right. Here's how you take him down.
Right,
I've been thinking about this for 2 days.
All right. Yeah.
10 dudes on one side.
Right.
10 dudes on the other side. So left and right. All right. You attack the gorilla from the side. You punch it in the head as hard as you can over and over and over again. And look, I don't want to see the gorilla get hurt, but this is just for the sake of this argument.
Yeah.
Right? You keep doing that with 10 guys here. Line of 10, line of 10, line of 10.
Yeah.
And then you have 10 guys in the front of the back. The second that gorilla falters or stumbles or goes to the ground, those 20 dudes pounce on the gorilla.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you're going to win. I don't doubt that. I just don't think who wants to die first trying to take this gorilla, because there's going to be some horrible, horrible death.
Unless you just keep running guys through it. You know what I mean? You run past it and hit it and keep running. Run past it and hit it and keep running. Mm. And you hope the gorilla doesn't get its hands on you.
He's going to figure that out pretty quick.
Are gorillas smart enough? Well, I'm saying, yes, someone will get grabbed. But if you do it that way, I have a chance. Because all you need as a human being to go along with a plan is the idea that you have a chance to survive.
Yeah.
You're right, because if you send one line of guys out for it, those guys are all dead.
Mm.
I need a chance.
All right. I just think once the horrifying results of that first dude show up, everybody's going to start going, I don't want any part of that. Yeah. There's going to be a group of those guys.
Okay, but then you're going to die anyway.
The me's. Yeah. The me's. I'm. So what's this other death option here? Rope? You know, what?
Yeah.
Electric chair? What do you got?
Take me away.
You got like a needle? Just give me a needle or something?
So you brought up the idea that the gorilla would get tired.
Oh, it will, sure.
But we don't know how long that takes.
Yeah,
we don't. It will eventually get tired. All things get tired.
Gorilla adrenaline goes for.
Well, but that's just it. Does it get tired after it kills 100 unarmed men?
Possibly. No, it couldn't. I'm sure it's before that.
Based on what? I mean, those things are huge.
They can
throw themselves with their own body weight with arms.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what the endurance of a gorilla is. I mean, also, they're an animal. They will get tired.
I mean, they're going to get. We're going to get way tired faster than the gorilla is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That thing is just solid muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as big as we are.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the Mike Tyson gorilla story?
No.
So Mike Tyson, he tells the story himself back when he first became heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
He was feeling pretty good about himself. He went to the zoo and there were two gorillas in the zoo. He was there with his girlfriend. And one of the gorillas was messing with the other gorilla. And it bothered Mike Tyson. He was bullied when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Hated bullies. And he took $50,000, went to the guy who ran the gorilla pit, and offered him $50,000 to get into the gorilla pit to teach the gorilla a lesson. And he was serious.
Oh, my God.
He wanted to, in that moment,
teach the gorilla.
Climb in that gorilla pit and teach the bullying gorilla a lesson, and he offered the guy $50,000 to do it, and he wouldn't take the money.
So Mike Tyson was going to get in there and box him, basically.
Essentially, yeah. I mean
that's his skill, right?
Hey, cut it out.
But, like, all right.
Because there's no, like, you know, bumping mitts and going to neutral winding up here.
You know, back to your corner, gorilla.
It's sponsored by Budweiser.
So I want you to think about this. Like, one gorilla versus 100 men.
Yeah.
That's a silly thought exercise. But if you're this gorilla keeper now.
Oh.
If Mike Tyson gets in this gorilla pit, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be facing charges.
Yeah.
But in 1989,
I'm taking that 50G.
So you would have no problem watching Mike Tyson have his arms ripped off?
No, I'm leaving. I didn't see nothing. I must have left the gate open. God damn it!
Could you imagine that headline the next day in America?
Mike Tyson
murdered by a gorilla. $50,000 missing from his pocket. If you got kids, they want to do everything all the time.
Oh, right? Sure.
You find that out every time they have a break. Spring break being 2 weeks ago. I want to do this. I never get to do that. Will you let me do that? You can't take it. Stressful, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, there will be something you'll see that you know your kid would love to be a part of. And for your own sanity, you must do this. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So over the weekend, the 4th annual Brick Universe Lego Expo was at the Dome Arena in Henrietta.
Is this Legos?
Yeah.
It's what I just said.
Well, you said a bunch of stuff, Brick Lego.
Brick Universe Lego Expo.
Oh, so it's just Lego.
Well, yeah, but it's like the big Lego.
This is the big Lego. One.
Yeah, it travels the country.
Oh, of course, why not? Who wouldn't want to go see it?
So it's got master. Yeah, Kimmy's right. A lot of people. So it's got like master builders that travel with this thing.
Master builders.
That's what they call them, man? Master builders.
Okay.
And they put on displays. You also have dealers who will sell not only like out of print, I guess you would call Lego sets, but things they make themselves. Like, my daughter loves Legos, so she went 1 year and she got like streetlights that actually work to put in her little Lego city.
Cute.
Oh, now it's cute.
It's cute because it's for a kid.
Uh-huh.
If you told me your 35-year-old daughter was doing it, I would be concerned for you.
There are lots of men of that age bracket that love Legos.
That are sad.
That go to this thing. The 2-day event has become so popular.
How popular is it?
They have to sell tickets in 2-hour time slots so they can get everyone in, and it still sells out.
So there's like a limited time you can be in there looking because they got to move the people through?
Yeah, you got it. You buy your 2-hour timestamp ticket. You get 2 hours to walk around, and then they put the next group of people.
Okay.
And we have talked about, Tommy, on the past in this show, how popular Legos have gotten the last few years.
And you said they were super ass expensive.
Unbelievably expensive.
And they're collectibles, like they're rare Legos, right? Rare Lego sets, I should say.
Like my daughter, my youngest, loves Legos and she loves The Simpsons. There is a Lego Simpsons house that they made a couple of years ago. If you want to get your hands on it now in the box.
How much?
$800 minimum.
Ooh. Kiss my Lego ass.
Yeah, there's a reason we ain't got it.
Yeah.
But like when you walk into the Lego store, if you want to buy like a building, she's really into like building a city.
Yeah.
Like those big buildings can go anywhere from like $100 to $300.
Well, plus the permits and everything else.
And don't forget about the taxes.
Oh, yeah.
It's obscene, bottom line. So here's the thing.
What?
Kimmy, you saw this story over the weekend.
Yeah.
And you had, even not having kids, you had the exact right take.
Well, because okay, so I know this is like the big Lego thing that comes to town, but there have been other ones in between, right? So like it kind of seems like maybe every few months there's some sort of like Lego or toy thing going on. And I'm just thinking like as a parent, like you can't take your kid to all of these things. It's just, it's impossible time-wise, money-wise, effort-wise, everything. So there have to be things like this that parents pray to God their kids do not see so they don't have to go to it. It's something that their kid would love and cherish, but that you just don't want to deal with it that day.
But as soon as like you go to this stuff, right, and you interact with it, your kid's going to start getting like notifications that it's coming to town and alerts, right?
Probably.
So how do you even, you can't hide
it. It is hard to, like, you know, before if it was just like on a TV commercial or something, maybe you could avoid watching TV and seeing it, but it would be hard at this point to keep them from seeing it at all.
So my youngest went to this last year.
Yeah.
And she loved it. And I did not want to do it again this year. Just didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
So I did exactly what Kimmy described. Luckily, I was the one that bought the tickets, so I was the one getting the notifications
okay. And
the emails and stuff. My youngest had no idea it was coming.
All right.
And I just kept my mouth shut.
Okay. You just play dumb if she finds out it was here.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I didn't know.
Exactly. And you can call me a monster if you want to. But the fact is, most parents do this a couple of times a year. You do all you can to hide some event from your kid
right. That
they know they want to go to because it costs too much or it's too much of a hassle to get in or there's too many people to deal with when you get there.
Mm.
Yeah. I have a friend who she every year, like I think her daughter's probably grown out of it now, but like for a few years she had to hide the Disney on Ice thing that was coming to town.
Which is hard because that's everywhere.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
And that's super expensive too, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to buy all the crap when you get in there.
Bro, the tickets are ridiculous. Yeah. And then, yeah, like you,
yeah, like
want,
you go all out one year and think, oh, we don't have to do that again. But yeah, you do.
And like the souvenirs they hit you with right when you walk in, they have like a stand they set up.
Yeah.
And it all lights up and it all makes noises and it's got all their favorite characters and everything is 40% more expensive than it would be anywhere else. And it's already expensive. And then they have like, you know, oh, you want popcorn? You can get this special character popcorn bucket.
And then you get to keep the bucket, right?
Yeah, it's $40. $40 for a... What are you going to use this bucket for?
It'll be out. It'll be in your garage. You'll be picking up dog crap.
It'll be the puke bucket.
God, yeah. It is stupid. But yes, I mean, they know they got you, right? And like, here's the thing. There is this internal fight as a parent. Do I want to give this memory to my child, which they're going to cherish forever? Because they do, right? Like, you know, those will be the things.
Well, that's the problem. You bring them once and they love it so much. That's why you have to hide it from them moving forward.
But here's the thing. I think once is enough, right? Like, I mean.
Yeah, but it wasn't for us. Like, as soon as I got something, I wanted more of it.
Yeah, but you're a spoiled ass kid.
Yeah, but you were. I mean, you would have been spoiled if your parents did it right.
No, they didn't. They did it right. Well, they didn't mean to do it right, but they did it right.
All right. But every kid just wants everything.
Yeah, that's my point. That's why we can't keep doing all this stuff,
Is it easier if they've never been, or do they want to go more because they've never been? Because like as a parent, you could lie to them and be like, it's not what it looks like on TV. But if they've been once, they're now hooked.
And their friends go, and they're going to hear those experiences.
True. Yeah, that's...
You're going to lose this fight, man.
Oh, no, there are parents that continue to win it. And, I mean, it gets...
How?
It gets to a point where sometimes you just have to be a dick and be like, we're not going.
Yeah, but then you got to listen to all that. Then the drama goes up in your house.
Yeah.
So then you got to live with that. Like, there's no out.
You hear the spoiled-ass, bitch-ass kid here? I'm going to make your life miserable if you don't take me to Disney on Ice.
I'm taking it up to a 10, baby.
I want to go to the Lego of that, and then I want to go to Disney on Ice.
What happened to my jaw?
Monster trucks. So you swallow Lego, and I might talk like this. 2-5-GWCMF, the 4th Annual Brick Universe Lego Expo was at the Dome Arena over the weekend. It's a wildly popular Lego convention, and... I know there are a lot of parents, like Kimmy said, that when they saw this, they were just going to keep their mouth shut because they didn't have the time or the money to go.
Like, I'm pretty sure there was a short phase in my life where I really wanted to be a Girl Scout, and we just happened to miss the meeting every year. Oh, that was going on tonight. Darn, maybe next year.
No, I mean, like, what sucks about being a parent is, Kimmy, it does feel like when we were growing up, our parents were all on the same page. Where it's like you can do like one or two things, and that was the end of it.
You could be a dick to your kids. You could tell them no.
I don't call, that's not being a dick.
No, but you could be.
You can't do everything.
You could tell them no. Yeah. And that had to, like, my parent could just tell you no and that give you a reason.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm the parent, we ain't going.
Okay.
I don't want to do that.
Gotcha. I get what you're saying.
But you can't do that now.
Well, that's
you
just,
look like a bad person.
That's just it. Like, there's also, it's not just the wanting to make your kid happy or wanting to avoid the drama of a spoiled only child like Tommy Mulay screaming his lungs off. And I know he had older brothers, but they were out of the house.
Oh, wait.
It's the judgment from the other parents that'll also get you, because everybody has that family member or friend or parent of a kid that they're on Facebook all the time, and they are taking their kids to every single thing that comes to town.
Yeah.
And you see them, and you hate this parent, and you think they're a tryhard and a douche, but at the same time, it makes you feel like less of a mother or a father for not providing all of this for your child.
Yeah, you feel like you're falling back.
Yeah.
And your kid's going to have a friend that does it all. Right? Like, your kid's going to befriend somebody whose parents take them to everything. They're involved in every activity.
And they're just,
I don't know, kind of go-getter type of family.
There was this family down the street from us where I grew up. They were the St. Denny family. Very nice people. Very nice people. But
they sound wealthy.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. It's hard for me to tell.
Well, they were doing better than y'all.
Well, yeah. So I remember... they were getting, like, the exorbitant amount in 1994, 95 of, like, $15 a week for their allowance, these kids. It was two boys and a girl.
That's fat.
It was. And they were really good at saving their money. And because of this, they were able to buy all of the coolest toys that ever existed. Like, it was when Power Rangers was big. Ooh. And I remember going over to their house, and Brian, who was my brother's age, had the Green Ranger dagger that was also a flute. You never saw these, man.
Okay.
You never saw. They had all of the action figures, like everything you could want as a kid.
Even the ones that went bad in real life.
Yeah, all of them. All of them. But, like, I mean, they were friends of ours, but I also secretly hated them.
Sure.
Right? Because, like.
And you wanted that for yourself.
Of course I wanted it.
It's the good life. Everybody wants the good life.
Yes.
You also hated them because they got bored with it fast, too.
No, those kids, they never did. They always played with it.
I remember, like, the kid that had everything. Like, I was like, yes, we finally get to play whatever game it was. And then they'd be like, you want to go do something else? Like, no, this is my chance.
That did happen. Yeah, because they all see him. Remember the Virtual Boy?
No.
It was like old VR. It was like a red thing. It actually gave kids like eye injuries.
I don't remember
so
this.
Like goggles?
Yeah, it was made by Nintendo and it was a video game.
Oh,
right?
All right. But,
oh yes, I do. I did know one kid that had that.
The kid got the Virtual Boy.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is great. We tried it one time. I was like, my head hurts. But the fact is that he got it.
And now he has cataracts.
No, I mean, the most complicated situation with these like events, the Lego universe or the Disney on Ice or the whatever it is, right? When another parent offers to take your kid with their kid,
you're screwed.
Because you can't say no.
No, but you got to give the kid the money.
Yep.
You're not out the money. Well, you're out some of the money because now you don't have to pay for yourself.
Okay, but I'm still giving my kid money.
But it's a discount.
But here's the thing. Like, you know, when parents take other kids somewhere, it's never just that event either. It's always like they're going to stop for lunch. So, like, I got to give my kid extra money for that, right? Pay admission, buy them for them to buy stuff when they get there. You also have this feeling as a parent that you now owe that other parent.
You do.
Down the road, like, I have to take their kid to something because they have taken my kid. So it's not like I'm saving money.
Yeah. So it's just a circular, never-ending firing squad of misery.
Like, of all the things they tell you about having kids before you have kids, they leave this one out.
Yeah.
And this is a big part of having kids, is, like, how much you bring or do with your kid as they get older.
Yeah. And it's all money. It's just nothing but money.
And it just gets more expensive. Like, my 14-year-old's at the age now where she wants to start going to concerts.
Concerts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
What, 14?
Yeah.
No, man, not by
yourself. That's a fortune.
No kidding.
I'm
especially
not
now.
It's not cheap, but yeah, I get that that's the age where you really start to get interested.
That's like $200 bucks a seat.
Yeah, not who my daughter wants. She wants to go see everyone. Beyonce, Taylor Swift. Like,
$200
bucks is cheap.
Yeah, that's cheap. But those are out-of-town concerts.
Yeah, no kidding. So the thing is, so Kendrick Lamar, you know, the rapper who did the halftime show.
Yeah.
He's coming to the Sky Dome, Rogers Center in Toronto.
Ooh, boy.
And she wants to go to that.
Ooh.
And she does not understand... I'm not driving to Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for the ticket. I'm not getting a hotel that night because we're not driving back at 2 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, she can't wrap her head around. Like, wait, man. Everyone's going. Who? I don't know, but everyone's going to be there. Everybody's going
to
be there.
So, you know, I had to do this with my nieces twice because my sister didn't want to take the kids.
You took them to Kendrick Lamar.
No, to see Bon Jovi and then Poison and Tesla at the Miami Arena.
But you went and you did it?
She didn't want to go, so I got recruited to take them.
Ah.
And it was the biggest night of... It was interesting. I'd never go to these shows.
Yeah.
It was also misery the entire time. There and back. But they were probably, I guess they were about 14, 15.
Yeah, it's about that age where kids start, like, you know, doing this thing. I just don't want to spend the money.
Oh, it sucks.
Right? I mean, not to sound like an old man, but Kimmy, concert tickets today are not even close to what they were.
It's got
to
be.
It was. I mean, I think it was like relatively. It was expensive when we were kids, but I mean, now it's insane.
All right, so lock your kids in the basement and don't let them have any kind of TV or phone.
Unplug the cable.
All right, great. You think pizza's just pizza, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're wrong.
Oh.
In Rochester, pizza's life. And folks who make your pizza, they're all intertwined. So much so that two pizza places here in town could be going to court because one is ready to start slinging pies on the turf of a Rochester icon.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yep.
Eric Levan owns a pizza place called Pizza 151.
All right.
And it is so successful that he wants to open up a new location to add to the three he already has. This new location would be in the Panorama Plaza in Penfield.
Oh, okay.
There's just one problem.
What's the problem?
The law
says
he can't.
Why?
Well, more specifically, a contract he himself signed.
Oh.
So Eric used to own parts of and eventually outright owned two Mark's Pizzeria locations.
He's a franchise guy.
You got it. So 6 years ago, Eric decided to strike out on his own.
Mm.
And in doing so, he signed some paperwork with the people over at Mark's Pizzeria.
Oh.
The paperwork.
Read the fine print.
Well, he did. He was aware of what he was signing. Oh, okay. It says in the Rochester Business
Journal. I
thought
he was like surprised by this news.
No, he knew.
Gotcha.
But the paperwork said he could have his own pizza place,
right,
but he could not operate his restaurant within 10 miles of any Mark's Pizzeria.
10 miles?
Oh, man.
For 10 years.
Wow. That's
that's a huge area, man.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's been successful enough while observing this rule that he's had three pizza places. He's got three of them.
I wonder how he found spots that qualified.
Ah, 10 miles. That is a lot.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big area.
I thought there were Marks in just about every suburb around Rochester.
Well, he found a way.
All right.
But in opening this shop in Panorama Plaza, he would be violating that deal that he signed.
Well, it sounds pretty cut and dry.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
What?
Eric says not as cut and dry as you think.
Oh.
Eric claims that he does not use any trade secrets he learned at Mark's for his new pizza venture. So it's not like he has an edge up.
Or like a recipe or something.
Exactly.
Mm.
He also says that Mark's is not concerned about him as competition because Mark's opened their own location within a mile of his Chile location in July of 2019 after he opened his. His argument is, if Mark's thought they couldn't compete with him, they wouldn't have opened up that location.
Okay.
Because of this,
he
is arguing that he should be able to open his Pizza 151 location in the Panorama Plaza, and that it is unfair that Mark's continues to block him in this way.
Yeah, but you sign that piece of paper, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sounds like you're locked in.
Well, here's the thing. New York, it's not known if they'll enforce this because there are some cases in the past of like non-compete, stuff like that, where the state's like, yeah, you can't do that. So it's unknown. But he could end up in court. He could get sued. Could be a bunch of money. He wants to make sure that if he opens up this place, everything's going to be just fine.
True.
Now, because we have a fair show,
mm-hmm.
we have to point out the story in the Rochester Business Journal had no comments from Mark's Pizzeria, so we don't even actually know how they feel about the whole thing.
Yeah.
They might be like, fine, go open up the pizza place. But Pizza 151 is ready for their Penfield location and wants the state to side with them in court.
Okay, like to the Supreme Court of New York State?
I mean, I guess it could get there eventually. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. It's a lot of pizza drama.
It is.
It's a lot of pizza drama.
Does the average Rochester resident have more than one pizza place they frequent?
Yeah, I would say I have at least three.
Okay.
At least three usual go-tos that I don't mind like interchanging.
That's every Rochester resident,
yeah,
right?
Every now and then you branch out, try something new, but I don't just stick to one place and one place only.
Like, however your day goes dictates where you will be getting your pizza that night.
Yeah, yeah,
I'd ask you, but you eat like a bitch.
No, but when I ate, I always went to Salvador's because it was right in Webster.
So, wait,
so that, that was my joint.
That was, you had one pizza spot.
Well, because it was right there. So, and, you know, that was like the biggest name in town at that time. So I always Salvador. And he even had one. When he opened up, like, he took over this coffee shop, and then he put, like, subs and all that stuff and fries.
Subs. And fries?
So, because it's hard to find subs with French fries.
I agree with you.
No,
with
you're
the
right.
So, like,
right.
you could walk
right.
in there and get a good sub and hot fries.
Yeah.
I loved it. So, like, he was the man to me.
Somebody opens up a joint that's called Subs and Fries on there every day.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. Look,
but I never, I didn't, there. And I, you know, or I grab it at Wegmans.
Okay.
And I know you hate that. even though those people train in Tuscany.
No, but you keep saying that. It's not true.
Yeah.
I worked there. They didn't send me to Tuscany.
Well, you said I ain't sending your busted ass there, Scoop Boy.
Scoop Boy.
I love Salvatore's. Great pizza, right? I find it weird because every town has 10 pizza places.
Yeah. Yes.
That you went to one place and one place.
But he kind of like elevated the game because then he took over another spot in Webster where it was a sit-down restaurant.
Okay.
Where he served like other Italian dishes and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, he really, it was like an institution in Webster.
Look, I'm not saying it's not great.
Plus my ex-wife went to school with him, so there was a connection there, too.
Yeah, but you know they weren't going to know if you went to Mark's or Pontello's once or twice.
No, but, like, you know, you kind of go with where your wife says, let's go. You know, you just kind of got sucked in with the family.
You're weird, man. I don't think I could eat one pizza place for the rest of my life.
I mean, I could if I had to, but I do like to switch it up.
No, okay, you say you could. Yes, I get it. Fine. All pizza's good, right? Even if it's bad pizza, whatever. That being said, Kimmy, I would be staring out, like, through windows of other pizza places. Like, well, I wonder what that tastes like.
Here's the thing. Yeah, like, I never found a pizza that was any better than his in the way he did it.
Okay.
Like, the guy is sharp. Like, he knows his stuff. Like, you know, and I know Mark's is great, too. But, like, if I went into Mark's, I wouldn't go, oh, this pizza's so much different than that one.
Different pizza places do their pizza.
There's a little tweaking, but
for like a little something different.
You don't know nothing about nothing.
Like the sauce is always different from place to place. That varies.
A taste.
I don't know.
You're wrong. You have the worst food takes of all time. It drives me insane.
All right.
No, I mean, like, it also depends on what kind of toppings you're getting on that pizza.
It's all the standards.
Not the same.
Pepperoni, sausage.
You are so wrong. Oh my God.
Some people prefer the cup and char pepperoni, the little ones that like the fold up.
Yep.
Others prefer like the big thin pepperonis.
Those pepperonis all taste the same no matter what size they are.
No, they don't. No, also, sausage matters. There are some places that do the crumbly sausage. Mm. There are some places that do the ball sausages.
You like sausage?
Oh, you're like, yeah, I love sausage.
Why did you tell me you like sausage?
Why? What's going on?
I just jumped into the sausage game.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Phallic meat. Where can I find this?
Open up a little kiosk in a mansion.
Where's that?
It's called Uncle Giuseppe Tommy's Old School, Old Country, from the sausage country to your mouth, and a specialist sauce.
252-WCMF.
All over your face.
252-WCMF. God. 252-9263. We started this conversation talking about a man named Eric. He owns a pizza place. It's called Pizza 151. He has three locations. He wants to open a fourth location, Panorama Plaza in Penfield. Problem is, he used to own a couple of Mark's pizzerias after working for them for a while. When he left, opened up his own place, he signed a non-compete, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
Right? He is, for 10 years, he was not allowed to open any of his pizza places within 10 miles of a Mark's pizzeria. However, this Panorama Plaza would violate that. He says that this should not count anymore. One, Mark's opened up a pizzeria within a mile of his in Chi-Lai in 2019, so they're not worried about competing with him. Two, he says he has not taken any trade secrets away from Mark, so no reason to keep him there. But we're talking about how this may not even matter anyway, because if we all go to multiple pizza places, Mark's and them competing with each other in the same spot may not hurt business.
Yeah.
So you know what used to make us switch up pizza places, like as a family, as a kid? Coupon books. And I haven't seen a good coupon book in a long time, so I wonder if people are just sticking to like one spot all the time because, you know, they're not likely to branch out and try something new with that pizza offer.
I don't know. I think it's a Rochester tradition
to move around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like I live in Henrietta.
Yeah.
I will drive every once in a while to Colombini's in Chi-Lai has been open forever because I love that.
But that's the thing though. You shouldn't even have to drive that far because, I mean, usually wherever you live, there's a minimum of three different spots within a mile.
No, you're right. We have four on rotation that will deliver to the house, but every once in a while, I got a hankering for Colombini.
Is that the one with the mini pizza?
No, that's Savastano's, which I will also go to in Gates.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love Savastano's.
That is unique. That little pizza is pretty cool.
They're so good.
Delicious.
Yeah. Anyway, now, the weird part about this whole story, about Mark's and the competition and Pizza 151 and the contract or whatever.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Mom and pop pizza places almost never go out of business in the greater Rochester area.
Well, yeah, unless they just retire and die.
Yeah, I've seen.
Or a combo plate of the two.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
No, but you know,
you're all going to die.
No, but they age out and the kids don't want to take over the business because it's ball busting work.
Yeah. Think of all of the pizza places, the mom and pop pizza places around your house right now. They've been open 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Like I brought up Colombini's. That place was open before I was born.
But those places are going to go away eventually because of those, nobody's going to want to do take over that business. It's 24/7 job.
Understood. But if they.
And nobody wants to make pizzas anymore.
But let's say they do end that way.
Nobody wants to work.
It's not going to be because somebody ran them out of business.
No, they're just going to, you know, you age out.
Yeah.
Well, I have seen. Have you seen like one pizza franchise swap for another pizza? Like the same spot?
Somebody else moves
turned
in.
Into yeah. like a different pizza franchise. Like not, they weren't like necessarily like no name places, but yeah, like I have seen. I don't know if they went out of business or if they just sold or what the story was.
I don't mean to keep saying Colombini's, but like Pontello's opened up a location like literally right next door to them, and both of them have been in business for like 8 years, right?
Yeah.
Like how bad does your pizza have to be in Rochester for you to go under? Because I can't think of a single mom and pop
pizza.
There's
got to be one.
Oh yeah.
Name it.
Somebody's got to do it wrong.
Name it.
There was the one spot that used to be on Park Ave. I think it's like the Fox's Deli branch now.
Okay.
But it
Are you talking about Chester Cab Pizza?
No. It was Mazzaroni's.
Oh, Marvin Mazzaroni's.
Something like that. But that used to be there, and that's not there anymore.
Okay, so we found one.
But it does still exist
in other
places.
But that's probably hipster pepperoni.
Hipster pepperoni.
Yeah, yeah. Different.
You know, there's also pizza places that have existed forever that I've never tried here in Rochester that I've been dying to try.
Oh.
I've never had Pudgy's Pizza.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have
had
I've Pudgy'd.
You've Pudgy'd before?
Yes.
Yeah? No, I've seen some of the girls you dated. I understand. Like, there's one in Irondequoit.
Yeah.
There's one in Canandaigua. Whenever my daughter's got a hockey game out in Canandaigua, we drive past it. I'm like, I'm going to stop at Pudgy's.
It's a great name for a pizza joint.
It is.
It is.
But I don't know how, in 38 years living in this town, I've never managed to have a piece of Pudgy's Pizza.
Right.
Makes me feel like I'm missing something. You know, all of these pizza restaurants, too, as we talk about this story, this guy that used to work for Mark's, owned a couple of Mark's, opens up his own place. Are all of these pizza restaurants coming from other pizza restaurants in Rochester?
Like guys that worked at other...
Mm,
so usually the guys that I know that went out, there was a family or a restaurant connection.
Okay.
There was a kid that sold here that his family was big in the restaurant business. He opened up Two Ton Tony's.
Okay.
And I think he's still going strong. But he still was like, you know, he worked in a restaurant business his whole life.
Because like if it really is an issue for some of these like for like Salvatore's or Mark's or Pontello's or whatever Coriglio's to have people going off and doing it on their own, why not open up like a pizza university and like
teach the art of pizza?
Well, like here's the thing,
of Rochester pizza specifically.
If you're gonna hire these people to work for you, and they're just gonna end up walking and starting their own place anyway, why not make a little money? Like if I'm Salvatore.
Like an institution?
Yeah.
Like an institute to teach you how to do it?
Yeah, I'm dead ass serious. Take one of my places, turn it into half a culinary kitchen.
Pizza U.
Yes, I will
teach. I will buy that t-shirt.
Welcome to Pizza University. We'll teach you how to open up your own pizza franchise. I mean, you're going to compete with me anyway. Yeah. Why not get paid up front?
Okay.
No?
Yeah, but then you're also creating more competition for yourself.
But you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, like you said.
If they come and work for you and they decide they want to do this for the rest of their life, you're not getting anything out of them.
Yeah, but you also don't want them to go off and be really good.
Okay.
Because that cuts into my stuff.
Again, I don't think you're cutting into profits. No. Everybody wants
and
pizza.
I don't think you want to create stress with Italians doing business. We had that before.
There was nothing we could do.